the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Good will to the people of this planet.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have a picture now. Really looks beautiful.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Live from WRCT Studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Hour, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Well, again, another great roundtable discussion is about to begin. And I guess I'm really taking a chance tonight. The reason I'm taking a chance is I'm taking two people that really have never agreed with me ever, 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 and bringing them on radio. And it kind of started out, and the story is that I had Larry Sand, which my two guests really do not care for, and Larry gave us an update on the education reform movement. We have seen changes in education since NCLB, which we all have been talking about oodles and oodles of times, to now all the other reform movement things. But again, teachers out there never get a voice. We always have administrators out there. We have college professors talking about it, but not people that are in the classroom that know what's going on. So I first want to welcome the program, Bronx Teacher. And is it, can I say your real name now too?
You can say my real name. You can give out my address. You can give out my phone number. I don't care.
Okay, so you at least are not like Jason, that Jason still will not give out his full name. All right, so it's Peter Zucker. Peter Zucker, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for having me tonight, Neil. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Bronx. I always will call you Bronx, even though you want me to call you Peter. I'm not going to do that. And I also want to welcome the program, TFT. And TFT, again, has had some good conversations on the network, and it's been a while. How are you?
Well, I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And again, this is going to be not a love fest, but yet ultimately we are going to finally break things down in education reform and find out. But as I was telling you before off air, and I guess not off air, but before I introduced you, we really had an interesting conversation with Larry Sand early in the week. And he was telling all the great things happening with education reform. Specifically, and now you guys are laughing, and I knew that was going to happen. But specifically, this roundtable discussion is to give the other side of the story. I give both sides, but I thought we're not going to go with debates yet. But we will, trust me. But we wanted, I've had the Goldwater Institute on. I've had specific people, everyone talking about, well, we need to change education. I even had a former governor on the program that was a Democrat that was for education reform. But specifically enough, we have not gotten the teacher out there to talk about this. So I first want to ask TFT to say it in more of a way, and then we'll get Bronx's take on specific things. TFT, tell me, I guess, firsthand, your thoughts on education reform.
It's a scam. Education reform is a scam started by ALEC, A-L-E-C. I forget exactly what it stands for. And it's a privatization scheme. That's it in a nutshell. The problems that are being used as the ammunition to fuel the bogus reform, you know, the problems are real. Our low socioeconomic status families have children who perform poorly in school, but that's not because of school. It's because they're low SES. So the whole thing's a scam. It's a way to privatize education for the giant corporations. Look at who's paying for it, who's paying for reform. It's media companies, software companies, billionaires, hedge funders. None of it has anything to do with children. They're using our nation's poor, underperforming children as a tool. Those kids are being used in the service of making those hedge funders more powerful. It's disgusting. It's a crime. And it makes me ashamed to be an American sometimes.
And that's a surprise that you don't get a lot of people on the program to talk about this. And, you know, you think as specifically you bring on a former governor from Colorado, or no, it was Missouri, that basically talked about specifically education reform and all the different specific things and kind of saying everything's going well and we're on the right track. And then here's somebody who's a teacher that truly knows from the front lines. You guys have done specific things to talk about it, but I guess this is the conspiracy theory that you won't get on either side, Democrat or Republican. I had on my show, we talked about the again, education plans of both Governor Romney and President Obama and how they're very similar in ways, but ultimately they're going after teachers. So Bronx, and is that really what, I guess, what kind of what TFT said? Do you agree with me that ultimately every time it's blaming the teacher when we're talking ed reform?
Wait, say that last.
Basically what we're saying, Bronx, is that basically all the time, what we're saying is that, and I'm going around and around and around after you missed my question, but we'll hopefully get your ears on. That was the old thing I think Myron Cope used to say. Do you have your ears on? That was a shout out to Pittsburgh. You do have your ears on. That basically what I was saying is that every one of these education reforms are attacking teachers. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes, it is attacking teachers. And as I've spoken, you know, been on the air with Larry Sand in the past several times, you know, I bring up the fact that, you know, hey, you want to hold the teachers, you know, why hold the teachers accountable? It's not holding, you want to, why not the cops? Why not the firefighters? Nobody's getting involved with these other public service, employees, especially first responders. And it's because firefighters, paramedics, cops, it's a mostly male society. There's a lot. Education teachers are mostly female, and I think this, and I don't know if Rich, I think Rich will agree with me on this, that it's also basically the war on women. Okay, there's a war on women going on from the right and the neoliberals, and it's, they think, and they know that women, especially in elementary school, are not as confrontational and won't, you know, and are more pliant than men are. And this so-called, you know, crisis in education. I agree with Rich completely that it has been, you know, created by Alec. It's been created by the neoliberals. It's been created by the far right. That there's this crisis, and there's no crisis. Yes, things every now and then we have to tweak things in education. Okay, but if we get back to the basics in education, if we get back to where the kids are there in a school till March, if they're getting a full, well-rounded education, you know what? There's going to be no crisis.
Can I jump in real fast?
That's what a roundtable discussion does. Go ahead.
On, you know, when Bronx says there's no crisis, he means there's no crisis in the schools. But we have a huge crisis in this country, and the crisis is disparity and poverty, which is reflected in the schools. Schools are a mirror of society, not the other way around. So when you see poor kids doing poorly in school and affluent kids doing well in school, that's pretty much all you need to know. If you can predict someone's score on the standardized test based on where they live, then the problem is not with schools, with teachers, or anything on the school side. It has to do with the home side. And the homes of our growing impoverished population in America. We have the highest child poverty rate ever. We're second in the industrialized world, maybe first now, in child poverty. That's our crisis. That crisis is being amplified with all the testing. We're seeing it. We're seeing the crisis in test scores. And everybody's yelling at teachers. And everybody wants to say, well, poverty can't be overcome. Poverty is the problem. Poverty is our crisis. Schools are not in crisis. The children that come to the schools are in crisis.
Okay, now I have to give, this is a roundtable discussion. I know already that Bronx wants to chime in, but hey, this is the way to work, and we have an hour to talk about this, so there'll be a lot of thoughts in this process, and I'll keep you guys going on specific ideas in this roundtable. I wanted to get opinions first on these things, and I've gotten opinions from both of you, and I think that you say it's an attack on teachers. And listening, and I guess now because I'm not sitting in the chair as a teacher anymore, I see your grievances. But I also see that we as a society have to look at specifically a lot of areas to improve on. And I think poverty is definitely one area to look at, specifically if you look at even one district to another district right down the road. And we see that from money. We see that from specific areas. But when Bronx, I want to kind of ask Bronx this question again. You said there's no crisis in education, that this is an alarmist idea. Let's go right to the whole PISA exam. And I want to hear his take on this, and then I'll get TFT's. The PISA exam, which we've had a conversation as a roundtable discussion as well, and I'm sure that you guys have tuned in a few times to some of these conversations, that basically the PISA is why we're all up in arms. We're up in arms because we're ranked 23rd in mathematics and whatever in science, and that we're not scoring well on tests.
You know what? Well, you know why we're ranked so low in science? How can we be ranked at the top of the chart? You know, the world in science, when we have half the country that believes there's a little guy up in the clouds that created the world 5,000 years ago. Okay? I kind of feel myself as a spiritual person, okay? But I don't believe that there's a personal God. So how the heck can we be at the top of science when this country leads the rest of the world in believing in a little guy up in the clouds?
Well, and the other thing, as Michael Martyr pointed out from the University of Texas, Dr. Michael Martyr, professor of, mathematical something or other, he's a numbers guy, and he took that PISA information, and you have to realize that the PISA is delivered with aggregated scores. You get a country's rank based on all the students in aggregate. He went ahead and disaggregated all those scores. When you disaggregate the scores, and this is, I say this constantly, when you look at the PISA information disaggregated, you find out that our affluent kids are number one. Exactly. Not 14th, not 27th, but number one.
Right.
Our poor kids are not.
Jason, the public school guy, said that. Now, again, this is when we're working on a clock. That's a great point to continue the conversation. And TFT, I'll let you get right to that point some more. But kind of the point I'm making is, you're right. Why can't we look at specifically what we do well in public education? You guys are probably like saying, what has happened to Neil? But I am a broadcast journalist now. I'm not taking sides. I want both sides of the story because I want everyone to listen to my show. But the fact is, when we look at specific things, if we have success, we need to tout that success. And that's very interesting. You look at things and look at the poor versus
the rich.
But
where does that, how do those affluent kids become successful? They weren't successful because of their teachers.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
No, because they're parents. And their parents.
What?
Yeah, yes. When we get back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, streaming live at WRCT.org. And we'll be back in just a moment. And I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, I agree. This is Neil Haley. You're listening to the Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour on the Total Education Network, live streaming live at WRCT.org. And I'm really enjoying so far the conversation because I just don't know where we're going to go next. And I think that my listeners out there are listening to this and saying, oh, well, what's the next part in this? But again, TFT, we were at a hard stop, but let's go continue with your evaluation.
Well, I was just talking about the PISA.
Yes.
Because that's the international test. For your listeners, it's PISA, PISA or PISA. I don't know what it stands for. And that's the test that is used to rate countries against each other. And the data is aggregated, so you get all of America's scores piled into one, all of China's scores piled into one, except that's not really true. In China, they only send you Shanghai. And in other countries, they only send you the rich town. They don't actually send all their scores to be used in the PISA. We in America do. We send our autistic kids' scores and our honor student scores. We send them all. And that's, you know, the interplay between the scores coming from China that are perverted and the scores coming from us that aren't. That's also part of the problem. That's another reason why when you aggregate them, we come out 14th or 17th. But when you disaggregate them, you find out, like I said, that our affluent kids score number one in the world, better than anybody, anyone, anywhere, period, the end, in math, in reading, in science, period, the end. So when reformers or anybody decides to come out and tout the number, we're 14th in the world in math. No, we're not. Or at least if you're going to tout the number, then also tell your listeners or whoever's listening to you that that's the aggregated number, and when you disaggregate it, you can tell, you can see that our affluent kids do really well, and our poor kids don't do well.
And I want to address right what you said. You said the situation that it's not the schools why the affluent kids are doing well. You said they're fed well. Well, also, I'd say that their mom's home to work with them, or their dads are there to work with them, or tutors are there to work with them, and that's the key thing. Because
You know, back up a little there.
Okay.
The mom's at home. This isn't 1957. You have the cleaver at home, you know, in her best dress and her pearls, making a cake for Wally when he comes home with Eddie Haskell. I don't think you have as many stay-at-home moms as Rich and I did when we were children.
I think that's changing. I think we're seeing another dramatic for the people that Rich was saying off air are the Looney Bin, which is Romney and his crew. That's what, again, TFT said off air, that basically that crew has lots of stay-at-home moms. So, again,
that crew, the crew that can afford to have one income in a family, okay? Rich's crew, my crew, your crew
can't
live on one income.
Right.
Okay? And this is the crew I'm talking about. I don't, they're in fantasy land, okay? They have their Peloponnes and their summer homes in the Hamptons. So that's not even who we should compare ourselves to.
Oh, right.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that our affluent kids have the benefit of a bunch of things. Number one, they have a home. A lot of our impoverished kids don't. They have a bed. They get all the food they need, probably more than they need. They get enrichment activities that their parents pay for. They get summer camp. They get God knows what, soccer, the Boy Scouts, whatever. Our impoverished kids don't. Our affluent kids go to the doctor. They're not sick. Their teeth don't hurt. We have in this country literally millions and millions and millions of children who do not have the security of a home, do not have much food to eat, have teeth that hurt, are sick. Some of them have lead poisoning because that Section 8 housing they live in hasn't been fixed up in 30 years. So there are literally documentable reasons why our affluent kids do well and our poor kids don't.
No, I don't even think we should use the word affluent. Because at least in my opinion, we're using affluent as, the Romney's class.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, can afford a place that isn't Section 8, can afford to eat every day and have medical insurance. Just a standard middle class life. That's what I mean by affluent. That, in fact, this whole discussion right here, this last minute, is almost frightening, because when I say affluent, what do I mean? Anyone not in poverty.
Right. Exactly. So
that's just more proof that poverty is our problem. Eliminate poverty and suddenly everybody, in my definition, is affluent.
Okay, and so
I want to ask Rich a question, and this question has always bothered me.
Yeah.
I'm using this as double family. Your family, my family came here 100 years ago. They were in poverty. Okay. And back then they didn't have the social safety net. So why was it that our families, the immigrants from, 100 years ago who lived on the Lower East Side or wherever, were able to rise out of poverty without the social safety net?
I know you do. Okay, well, first of all, a couple of definitions. When I use the word poverty, and when social scientists use the word poverty, and when we use the word poverty in this context, we are talking about socioeconomic status, of which wealth is one part. The other major part is education of the parents. Immigrants valued education. I know that our Jewish ancestors are all high SES, even if they were living in squalor, because education was important to them and they themselves were educated. Immigrants, and this even came out on that new show, The Newsroom, that controversial thing, America's not number one, blah, blah, blah. It's because when people came here 100 years ago, and when people came here even 50 years ago, they were coming to what they thought was a better place, a place where they could get a free education, not where they could get rich and become, .com billionaires. It's where they could get a free education and work hard, which is kind of, well, whatever. You know, Mitt Romney didn't work hard to get where he was.
Okay.
That work hard thing is a whole other issue. But that's why immigrants come here. They come here for the free education.
Okay, so now this is great. We've gotten your take on ultimately why you guys feel that this is not working education reform. Well, I want to go into the areas now so that you can give me takes. We did pieces so far. So that means that why we are alarmed about this. And then you got into some good arguments about PISA, which, again, I can agree on specific things and other things not. I think that the research says, and if I had Governor Holden on the program, former governor of Missouri, he would completely disagree with you on specific things. But, hey, that's for another time and another place. Later. Let me get my point in. Specifically, I want to go into now looking at ed reform, at what specific things we're doing. The first one that has been talked about with one of your colleagues, Dr. Sean, is teaching to the test, and that specifically enough what part of ed reform is. We're going to evaluate teachers on the test, we're going to evaluate students on the test, and it's an end-all be-all test. Now let's go right to Pete on this, Bronx teacher. Now tell me why this teaching the test is not working. I'm going to get TFT, and then we'll go right into the next part of this, because I'm going to go into all specific things for ed reform.
I was driving home today, and I had the radio on, and they were talking about the violence of late in Chicago. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened? This is happening during summer. What happened if this was happening? And 3 kids were shot, I think, today or yesterday. What happens if this was during testing season? I mean, think about it. You're a 12-year-old, and you're growing up in the projects in Cabrini Green in Chicago, and just hearing the bullets flying by, you're hearing, you know, people shot. Look at how it's suffering you, and you know, with it. Now, let alone you're learning, but you're taking a test. Now, how can you take something? Well, any scientist take all the variables that go into these the so-called value-added measurements or whatever? Would any reputable scientist take any of these variables, all these variables, and use it in an experiment and expect to come out with something? No. But we continue to just junk science with all these variables. Whatever goes on in a kid's life, as teachers, we cannot control. As much as we want to, as much as we wish to, we cannot control what goes on once that kid goes home.
Right.
Okay? I have a son going to the 6th grade. I do not want him taking the test. I want my son to have a well-rounded education, not just in ELA, not just in math. I want him to learn social studies. I want him to learn about the history of this country. I want him to in science, to embrace science, to have a love of experimenting and seeing how things work. I want him to take music. I want him to take art. I want him to take phys ed. This is what school is about. It's also a social process, okay? He's getting to be he's a preteen almost. This is where he's going to learn how to deal with people. School is much, much more than just sitting down, taking a test, and learning 3 R's.
Yes, definitely. I completely agree with you, and it's a socialization thing, and I've had conversations why private schools are better than public schools on the news show with Jason, the public school guy, and Jason talked about the academic part of it. Honestly, if just no knock against Jason, but again, they're brainwashing him out where I'm at too. Specifically, even though he's a union guy, ultimately he's agreeing a lot with reform now because they're being forced into this. And I think that specifically enough, we can fight all those things. But I agree with you on that. So now TFT, same thing on this testing. Why isn't testing a good way for ed reform?
Okay. Well, first, there's no reason for ed reform. So anything in the service of ed reform, since we don't need ed reform, is, I don't know, what does that make it? Useless? Silly? A charade? I don't know. But since teachers are made afraid of the test And since their job is now dependent on how well their students, some of whom have no homes, do on the test, the teachers need to make sure their kids do well on the test so the teacher can eat next year. That's a problem to me. It's about as simple as I can put it. Teachers have
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Have to teach to the test. They have to teach language arts and math. That's it. That's all they have to teach. And come February, that's all they do teach because the test is coming up in a couple of months.
Right.
So, you know, it's a waste. There's now thousands of professors and scientists who are saying that the VAA stuff is just nonsense. We've all known it's nonsense. And yet the people with power are still trying to get districts to rate their teachers based on the scores of their kids. The tests were never built to rate teachers.
And when we get back,
it's like using a thermometer to see how much Neil weighs.
Absolutely. Let's look at this. We're going to look in this more and go right back to you, TFT, on the specifics, because absolutely the truth is that's what Larry's applauding. All these states that are going to evaluate teachers based on test scores. When we get back, more with TFT and Bronx Teacher. And it's a great conversation so far about ed reform. And I can't wait till they become the Secretary of Education on the last segment. You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, streaming live at WRCT.org. And when we get back, we're going to talk more with TFT and Bronx Teacher. And so far, again, I can't get a word in edgewise except ask questions, but this is entertaining because specifically I know that you either agree or disagree with the two. I am in the middle in this, and I'm sure I'm going to bring them back to debate. We're back to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, streaming live at WRCT.org. And I'm with TFT and Bronx Teacher, and we are having a roundtable discussion on education reform, why it doesn't work. This is their opinion, and how should we help education? I won't use the word reform so TFT doesn't get upset. But TFT, where we're going into this conversation and talking about this in more detail about testing and specifically teaching to the test and forcing teachers to do this – How do you think this is really, in a way, harming the children and teachers by evaluating, and also all these states that are making a move now to value-added assessments, and that part of the evaluation process of a teacher is this test score?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
Well, how does it damage? Okay, when you narrow the curriculum, the kids suddenly have a much more narrow curriculum. They're not being exposed to as many ideas and concepts as they would have been. That is damaging to children. We started out with schools in America, sort of as this, as Cap Lee calls it, the slavery-based education system, where we taught kids how to run the machines but not how to run the companies that run the machines. And we've gotten away from that, and we brought in all kinds of different things. So when the three of us went to school, we did have music and social studies and PE and all these things. And now these things are being taken away. That damages children. That narrows their view. In America, the last thing we need are more narrow views. How does it hurt teachers? Well, teachers are now being judged based on the scores of their students. We know for a fact that a student, especially older students, could easily sabotage the test and get a disliked teacher fired for no good reason. We know that little kids that have to take this test get all kinds of test anxiety, often coming from their parents because their parents watch the news and the news is telling them that the teachers are all screwed up, which is a lie. So they're afraid and they put all kinds of pressure on their child to do well on the test. America is the most competitive nation on earth. We teach people to be competitive. That is not a nurturing environment. The place where competition was not such a focus was in the classroom, where you were supposed to be there to learn. Well, that's gone now. Now, not only is it a competition between students and among students, it's now a competition between teachers and among teachers, with this value-added nonsense. There's no way you can rate me on the scores of my impoverished children. There's just no way it can be done.
And,
I mean,
right,
go ahead.
Right, absolutely. And I'm going to go to this, and I'm going to go to the same thing. Let's just talk about this TFT. You've taught 15, 20 years. You specifically have a family. You have a life, and basically after school. This is a job. This is not a 90-hour-a-week job. So the kids that come in, the young students that have no family, they have no children. They basically are just working for a paycheck, and they're brainwashed by this situation. They work 80, 90 hours a week. Yeah, they're going to try. And they spend hours on hours of how I'm going to improve things. They start their own little after-school programs to increase test scores. They do everything possible. And we're going to rank them and think that they're going to be able to do this for 20 straight years?
Not only that, they do all that stuff, and the scores still don't go up.
Right, and only certain ones do. Exactly.
Yeah, well, because it's nonsense.
Right.
These bright-eyed, bushy-tailed little TFAers who, you know, they pulled the silver spoons out of their faces for a couple of minutes to get a teaching job, and they think they're going to save the world because they're rich and white, and then they find out, oh, no, I can't, and they leave.
Right, but the ones that get certain districts where they're in the best cushy job and they're able to increase test scores, and then they put this whole specific
thing
in.
Neil, That doesn't happen. You're saying
right.
That has not happened yet.
Well, it's not happened yet, but I'm concerned about certain groups that were out there. And I'm going to bring that topic up in a second. We're talking first about value-added assessment. We're going to talk about seniority and how the elimination. Go ahead, Bronx.
But before you get into that, I want to give you a disturbing thing. What's happening now with this testing? My brother-in-law is an art teacher in Hillsborough County, Florida, like Tampa. They discourage him from having the kids draw to do art. They want the kids to learn about art history, about artists. And they're testing these kids in first, second, third grade on art. They're testing these kids on the computer. Okay? They're taking assessments on the computer. This is what it's all about. It's just so Pearson, some company, can make some money off of some children. This is what it's about.
So yeah. you're telling me eliminate drawing from art. That is awful. And we are on in Tampa. A shout out to Life Improvement Radio in Tampa, Florida. But specifically in this situation, when we're talking about these things, that just really concerns me. And that's something where I'd love to have him on the program to bring him on the Total Education Network. We need, this is why I have this show, to get the word out, give both sides of the story, and allow people to have a voice that would not be if I didn't have my network, that can get this out there to all the people all over the world to learn about what's going on and what's wrong with this. But this kind of thing, we're thinking about the whole thing about value added assessment, the stress of teachers. But the problem is, TFT, I've seen this firsthand in the North, because remember, in the North, and we're just talking specifically Western Pennsylvania, where they get one of the most highest teacher salaries compared to cost of living. Again, we're one of the lowest cost of living places in all of the United States, and they get paid a good penny as teachers in Pittsburgh public schools and all over the place. That specifically, the competition is so high and so big that the younger teachers are coming in, putting in those hours, 80, 90, 100 hours, and then they're pushing the board when they get laid off, because we don't have enough teaching positions because of finances and the state cutting budgets and all these specific things, that they say that the 20-year teacher needs to go. If we're going to get to a point like this, and that's where I'm going to go with that question right now. We went from value-added assessment to evaluating and firing somebody because of test scores. That is where they're going. This is scary. Before, we talked about testing and evaluating teachers, but now, based on their evaluation, if we have to lay off one of these two teachers, the one that has higher test scores stays. Is that really fair, TFT?
Can I answer? Can I go first?
Oh, you can, but you were. Okay. We have to take turns. But I'll let. Okay. It was double for TFT. I'll let you go, Bronx.
Oh,
go.
You know what? It's too bad. That's the way it works. Okay, we as teachers take lower salaries to work in the public sector. Okay, so we can have certain protections, like last in, first out. Okay, cops have it. Firefighters have it. Paramedics have it. Doctors who work for counties or state have it. Why is nobody complaining about that? Why must it only be for teachers? Okay? This is how it is. This is how it always will be. This, if you look back and think to when the civil service program started, I think under, was it Chester Arthur? Okay, and you look at how, you know, public sector jobs were filled before then with patronage and everything. This is the best system we have, okay, and the best system it'll be. It might not be perfect, but it's fair.
I'm sorry to tell you this. If things go the direction you guys are going and you don't get the word out, in the world, you're going to lose big time, and education will be completely changed and unions will be busted completely. I'm not getting into this because it's about you guys and about your opinions tonight. I have my specific opinions, and you guys all know that, and this is not for the debate.
I'm giving you my opinion.
No, we're not saying. I'm not saying you guys. I'm giving your opinion and asking questions so to feed you guys into this.
I think your opinion, Neil, is shifting.
Oh, it's shifting in specific ways. But you got to remember, certain things, if I was Secretary of Education, you got to go back and listen to shows a couple weeks ago or months ago and then say, okay, where do we agree with Neil? Where do we disagree with Neil?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with cops being afforded seniority rights, yes or no?
I am absolutely have no problem with seniority. Here's the reason. You guys don't make enough. Teachers don't make enough to put them under the pressure that, let's say, we're not going to talk doctors, lawyers, because there's seniority involved in that. And so the only professions we're going to talk about is if we're talking a sales position where they have such a high stress, or real estate, or entrepreneurs, or all these specific things. We can't put that on teachers if they don't make
those things. Yeah, but those jobs are something that have something that you could put in your hand, and you can judge somebody on whether or not they're selling. I mean, a car salesman, is he a good car salesman or not? Well, let's look at how many cars he sold.
Right. You can't do that with teaching.
Jared,
you
suck.
You can do that with teachers in specific ways,
You can't do that with teachers because teaching. The art of it's an art. The art of teaching.
I agree with you. It's an art. I get. Okay. Can I? Now you guys made a mistake to draw me in, and you drew me in, and I'm going to go at, and I again have the ability to
get. Because we'll own you in a minute.
If I turn down the mic and specifically go on, and I can do that now, it's not like the days of BTR. I can turn on the mic and turn it down and then kick it back, and then we wouldn't lose you off the air. That's a shout out to my good friends at BTR. But let's go right to the whole specific thing, Bronx, that I want to kind of, and I guess it's going to lead to me to kind of be my take on the Secretary of Education. An hour is not enough for us. We need to go 3 to 4 hours the way this conversation's going. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about the way we're going to evaluate teachers based on a test and then how they're going to lose it, I agree with seniority. And the reason I agree with seniority is that, again, you cannot put pressure on teachers like this. Teaching is one of the most stressful jobs in the world. I had high blood pressure when I was a teacher. Stop. Let me speak. I had high blood pressure when I was a teacher. I was overweight when I was a teacher. I was highly stressed and had to wake up each day to go in the classroom. Now, as an entrepreneur, you'd think I'm making my own money based on specific things. I'd be more stressed. No, I have low blood pressure. I'm not stressed because I'm in control.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Not in control as a teacher. And that's the problem. But when we're talking the art of teaching, I'm talking about the ones that we need to get rid of. And there are only a few. And those ones are taking, they're making you guys look bad. They're making teachers as a whole, the ones that are idiots that sit down and read a newspaper the entire time. And there are teachers in every building that doesn't stop. We're going to go into that as a break. Okay, I'm going to turn down the mic because Bronx is talking. And when we get back, I have a feeling we've opened up a can of worms. You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, streaming live at WRCT.org. And when we get back, I think my roundtable discussion has gone to a interesting conversation and last topic. And I think we're going to go into seniority and looking at the debate of seniority versus jobs and kind of listen. And I guess we'll have to see if Bronx is listening in the right way. You're listening to Education Hour, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And now back to the show. We're back to the Toll Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, streaming live at WRCT.org. And I'm going to turn up the mics and I'm going to give Bronx his due. Bronx, response.
Firstly, how often have you seen a teacher sit there and read the paper? Secondly, the 17 years I've been teaching, I've seen one, maybe two, who should not be in education. And you know what? If you want to terminate them, tenure is not a job guarantee. Tenure, all it does is guarantee you due process. If the principal wants to get rid of that teacher, then do it. You have the power to do it. You have the tools to do it. You're just too lazy to do it.
Right, and the principal has power in specific states, other states not, depends on the district, depends on specific things. But if you're listening to this conversation, and I think TFT knows what I'm saying, that teaching is such a very, very stressful position. If we would put these standards on teachers when it's very difficult to control things, and I want to talk about how I still believe we can rate teachers, but we can't rate them on one component. And that test score that is a standardized test score where kids don't test well is not a way to do this. But I think what you didn't hear, Bronx, and I think TFT will agree with me, I was talking about you cannot judge teachers in a way that they can lose their job if they don't perform in a year just because of the stress level involved in it. And the money's not there compared to the jobs I'm talking about. An entrepreneur makes a ton, a lot more money. A lawyer makes a lot more. A doctor makes.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
I don't buy the money thing. You don't decide to not rate teachers on the scores of their kids because they don't get paid to put up with that kind of baloney. We teachers never really figured we were going to get rich. We figured we'd be middle class, affluent, right? We'd be able to raise our kids and feed them and go on a vacation and go out to dinner every now and again. You know, that's all most people need or want, really. Even Mitt Romney really just wants to be able to go out to dinner. Well, every
night.
Just at better places
than you are.
It's cheats.
I don't buy that as the reason. In fact, I think saying that they don't get paid enough to put up with this is even more belittling. It's belittling to everyone with a job. Most people. And you may not believe this, but it's true. Most people work because they want to. When you're out on the desert island because you've been shipwrecked, you don't decide to sit there all day for the next 30 years until you die. You build a hut, you figure, you know, you explore, you learn to fish, you do what Tom Hanks did in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are built to learn. That's what brains exist to do. And they are built to move and do stuff. So teachers are perfectly happy to do their jobs and to be evaluated in a way that makes sense for whatever their salary is. These TFAers that come in and claim to put in 80, 90 hours, all we need to do is compare their claims to their product. Their kids don't do any better, so it's nonsense. I don't care, you know, if you want to work longer, go ahead. It's not working, though. So that's just nonsense.
Well, see, but what I'm saying is the whole thing with seniority is that how can we make this pressure when any job that's a profession doesn't have that kind of strain, where that if you don't perform, it sounds like you're a football coach. I've made that an analogy.
Right, I guess I agree with you. It seems ridiculous to put the stress of the kids' scores as the determining factor in your remaining employed. That seems crazy because we know that the scores don't reflect the teaching ability. Like I said, it's like using a thermometer to weigh you. It can't be done. It's an ill-posed, ill-conceived measure for what it claims to measure. It does not measure what it claims to measure. the, like Bronx was saying earlier, the number of variables that need to be controlled when you're using VAA, it's impossible. You know, most people say between 60 and 90% of factors that affect a child's ability to do well in school come from outside the school. So, you know, any measure has to control for, I don't know, billions of variables that they have no control over, like sleep and teeth and hunger.
Exactly.
Right.
But so if we're going to put that kind of pressure on specific people and say
it's happening because rich, powerful people are making it happen against common sense and against what science indicates. Well, it is wrong.
So
slavery.
Okay,
it's just wrong. I'm
going to give you my take on how I would rate a teacher. I'm going to let Bronx answer that question and you, because it's somehow we've gone into it really involving the teacher. And I still wear that teacher hat. I still understand specifically, and I've kind of really allowed myself out there to tell you about the stress I was under as a teacher teaching to a test at St. Agnes for how many years are there? Isn't that terrible? About three. That basically I saw that stress in inner cities, and I saw that stress of that test, and that they wouldn't rate you as a good teacher based on, your test scores. And I have conversations based on that. But if I'm going to rate a teacher, I'm specifically going to look at, are they a professional? Are they being professional as a teacher? Do they have control of their class in a way that is not their fault? If it's specifically you're in a district where most of the kids are out of control and the principal can't control them, you can't rate that factor. Are they able to explain and teach, or are they just absolutely not prepared? Those areas you rate. You rate also your students' growth from beginning to the end of the year. Those are specific ways that are not standardized that you're going to rate a good teacher. I can walk into any classroom and tell who is a good teacher and a bad teacher in 25 minutes. And I'm not saying good to bad, but
I hear you, dude, and I agree with you. And you know why you can walk into a classroom and do that? Because you yourself have been in one.
Right. And these principals haven't sometimes, or they couldn't cut it as a principal.
Principals usually have been out of the classroom for a very, very long time, plus the fact that they're mandated to look at things that you didn't mention because their state or their district signed a deal with the devil for RTT or whatever they did. I mean, I agree with you.
Hey, Rich, let's not look at failed teachers who are becoming principals, because at least here in New York, it's even worse. When we're getting 25, 26-year-old kids out of an elite college who feel it's cool to go to Leadership Academy here in New York City, and they want to play principal until they get into Harvard Business or whatever, and they have no background in education.
Right.
They have worse, they have no background in leading people.
Right.
Worse, they have no desire to really be with children. They're trying to pad their resume.
Right. And see, that's another sad thing of ed reform. But I guess that's very interesting because TFT agrees with me. So, Bronx, do you agree with me as well that we could rate teachers on specific areas and look at kids' growth and progress, not a test? And then that's how we can see who are the good teachers and the bad teachers in the building, or good to great to best based on that.
No, you can't do it that way. It's too complicated. You're making it sound so too easy. You know?
Right, I agree with you.
Okay, it's like, I can have a painting, you know, here, and I can get 10 different opinions on whether or not it's a good, bad, or okay painting.
Well, here, how about specifically, Neil said professional. Are they professional? Well, what does that mean? Define it first.
Define professionalism. I define professionalism that specifically that you're right. That's a difficult thing. And I think more about it, the professionalism of define professionalism. I think dress is professionalism. I think that enthusiasm. I think that the specifically wanting to form themselves to become better teachers, go through more formation in classes. When we look at countries that are better in education,
that's only if you buy that the class is going to help you. I've never taken an education class that ever helped me.
So, but the Act 48 is terrible.
What happens if there's no staff What happens if there's no staff development courses being offered and you can't take any?
I think those staff development courses are horrid, and I think
I think that I'm why
talking,
include that in your measure
No, I'm not going to include that. I think that they need to continue to go on to education in college where they're learning more of their craft, learning about specific subject matter.
You don't learn a craft; you practice a craft.
True. Then let's look at specifically, I guess, knowledge in that subject area. Going and taking classes.
What about elementary teachers? They don't have a subject area.
See, but I think you got to be very knowledgeable to be able to teach science, math, social studies in those areas.
Well, they took the test that got them their credential in the first place. So that
could be an argument on professionalism. But I think professionalism is showing up each and every day to do your very best.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go off the look. My son played baseball with a kid whose father was.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.